are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, I am he, and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place. But the end will not follow immediately. Now, some of you may be wondering, why am I preaching on this passage here from St. Luke's Gospel, from Luke 21, 5 through 9 today? Why am I preaching on this? Well, the reason why I'm preaching on this passage today was because it was assigned about 1,700 years ago. The lectionary came into existence over a very long period of time, but starting about 1,700 years ago, they started to develop the lectionary in which they assigned gospel, epistle, and Old Testament readings for every day of the church year in a three-year cycle. So you have a year in which you preach from the gospels and the epistles and the Old Testament, and you do it in three-year cycles. If you did it for 9 years, all the Old Testament 1 year, all the epistle lessons 1 year, and all the gospel lessons 1 year, if you did it in a whole three-year cycle, 3 years, 3 years, 3 years, for 9 years total, you would have preached on over three-quarters of the Bible. The lectionary is a wonderful guide for preaching because it helps pastors, preachers like me from getting stuck in the same rut, preaching the same favorite passages of Scripture over and over and over again. It forces preachers like me to branch out into parts of the Bible that we would rather avoid, that sometimes say things that, you know, are difficult to interpret and apply. The purpose of preaching is not to preach topics that we then find Scriptures to prove. Instead, it's to apply the Scriptures that are given to us. And the Scriptures in the lectionary are assigned according to the church year, the church calendar, to follow certain themes overarching throughout Scripture and throughout the theology of the church. And it just so happens that today, the Sunday after a rather contentious election, we have this passage in which Jesus is asked about the temple, and he replies with, you know, it's going to be destroyed, but beware that you follow any voice, for the end is not immediate. That's another way of translating the end of the passage. But the end will not be immediate. It will not follow immediately. It still has a ways to go. In other words, just because we had a massive election on Tuesday doesn't mean it's the end of the world, people. It's not as if this is anything new to us, is it? I mean, we've all seen elections. They come and they go. Sometimes people you vote for win or don't win. And that's the way it is, right? Right? Yeah, thank you. I know some of you say the people I vote for always win. Well, no. No. Huh. This time, however, it's been rather contentious, hasn't it? Name-calling, demonization of the other side, us-and-them mentality. It just kind of happens. And you know what? That's also nothing new, is it? We've seen this kind of thing before. Just go back 8 years. Go back 8 years before then. Go back 8 years before then. Go back and back and back. You can follow the election cycles. And yes, indeed, we tend to demonize the other side, whatever the other side may be for you. We've got a whole list of epithets and name-calling and accusations to have to shoot at each other and at them. The political infighting that is common is unfortunate. But it's nothing new, is it? Now, it really was a contentious election. You can see it in the results. As of this morning, and a few minutes after 7 a.m., here are the final results as of this morning. I'm sure they're going to add some more votes. I'm not sure anybody's out there actually manufacturing any of them. It's just they keep on finding them. Okay. 121,105,780 voted. for somebody in the presidential election. Wow. 60,265,858 voted for Trump. 60,839,922 voted for Clinton. 6,226,950 voted for Johnson, Stein, or somebody else. Wow. Almost 400,000 people, I think it was, almost 400,000 people voted for Sanders. Interesting. Write-ins across the country. Interesting. Total, 127,332,730. And the percentage difference between the one major party and the other major party was less than 0.5%. The difference between Clinton and Trump is 574,064. That's less than 0.5%. In other words, half the country voted one way, and the other half voted the other way. We were split down the middle almost exactly. If nothing else, that illustrates the polarization of this country. The fact that we have two ends and they tend to argue at each other. They don't talk to each other or with each other. They argue and shout at each other. It was a contentious election. But what else is new? There's nothing new in this. We've had this before. Repeatedly before. If you're a student of history, you know about the sleaziness of, let us say, the Grant administration and its 12 major scandals, which included things like buying votes and cornering the gold market. We know, if we're students of history, about sleazy campaigns and sleazy administrations and accusations, some of which are true and some of which are not. It doesn't matter which. If we know recent history, we know of similar things. The simple fact is, we get into these fights as people, as a country. And then when it's over, it's supposed to be over. Because the country is bigger than any election. The people are greater than any division that divides us. The nation is founded on a solid constitution and on a solid understanding of our people as the people of many yet united as one. One of my first churches, in fact, my first church back in Texas after finishing out in graduate school and coming from North Carolina back to Texas, my first church to pastor was in this district. And it was a pier and beam building with a floating slab. Because of all this black earth out here in East Texas, that slab had split right down the middle. And half of the slab was going one direction, and half of the slab was going the other direction. You could actually see dirt down the middle through the crack. And that illustrated the congregation. Split down the middle. But I realized that that foundation wasn't the foundation of the church. The building, yes. Illustrative of their differences, yes. But the true foundation of the church is Jesus Christ our Lord. The true foundation of the church is our faith and love of God. The true foundation of the church is the grace of God. The true foundation of our faith is in the life, the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. Not some physical building or foundation. Just as the foundation for the American society is the Constitution, which is not split or divided, so also the foundation of the faith and the church is our one Lord and one Savior, one God and one King, one Father Almighty, one Son, and one Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ our Lord, is our foundation. Now, there are people who supported one side in this congregation, and there are people who supported the other side in this congregation. And yet, we are all sisters and brothers in Christ. We are all part of the family of God. We all share a common Lord, a common God, and faith in the grace of our Lord Jesus. Regardless of what divides us, we share a common faith in Christ. And that is where we should be standing. And for our nation, the United States of America, the country where I was born and where I live, the nation I love, we have a foundation in the Constitution, the rule of its law. And whether or not you loved the election or you didn't, we have that foundation. And we should stand on that as a nation and recognize that the people who voted the other way from you are still your brother and sister Americans, united together as one people. We have both sides in this congregation, but we only have one side in Jesus. We have both sides in this nation, but we are all, be we Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever party, we're all Americans. And we in the church stand on the sure foundation of Jesus Christ, who reminds us we're not to follow those voices of doom and gloom, but instead the voice of Jesus, the voice of God, the voice of grace and peace and love, the voice of faith and hope and joy. Don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. Beware that you're not led astray, but do not be terrified. For we've got a long way to go, friends. We've got a lot of work to do. As the church, we have a lot of work to do. As the community of faith in this town, we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of people to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to. We have a lot of people to serve in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to be reaching out beyond these walls to these people out here who need to hear the message that they are loved by God and they are welcomed by God, and that we will be a people who will embrace them with the love and the faith of Jesus Christ our Savior. And we have this calling then to witness to this nation, that this nation also needs to be about moving forward and doing good for all. And we can witness to this nation of the love of God so that this nation may stand again together as one. On the sure foundation of Jesus Christ, on the sure foundation of God, and know that if we stand on Christ, if we stand on His foundation, His love, His presence, then we should not be terrified. We should not be afraid. We cannot be afraid, but we must trust in the Lord. That's where we must start. As a people of faith, as the church, as the body of Christ right here, that is where we start. And in so standing and so acting, we then teach as a beacon of light to this nation, to our town, county, state, and nation, and world, we act as a beacon of light. That even with differences, we stand on Christ Jesus. Even with our differences, we stand on the love of God. Let us do that and serve as a witness to this town and county and state and nation. That if you stand on the sure foundation, you have nothing to fear. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we've seen an election through cantankerous, slimy at times, feeling like we need to go take a bath after voting. It was one of those elections, God. And now we move forward. I pray and thank you, Almighty God, for this congregation that you've given me to serve as shepherd. And I thank you for each and every one of them. Regardless of how they voted or even if they voted at all, I thank you for each and every one of them. I thank you have given them to me and me to them. Bless this congregation. Bind it together in the love of Christ. Strengthen and uphold it. For we have so much work to do in your name. And we pray here today for our nation, for our leaders, for those who currently serve in office and will soon step down out of office, and for those who will continue in office, and for those who will soon take office. For your grace and your strength and your wisdom, your guidance. We pray for this nation that its polarization may come to an end. And that we may recognize in each other our fellow Americans. All these things we pray now. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, the sure foundation of the church, our hope, and our eternity.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2016 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.